Let's get started. Luke chapter 15 in your Bibles, if you would. Luke chapter 15. Thank you once again, everyone that has taken part this week in different avenues of labor for the Lord. And if it's bringing people to church or picking up trash or doing skits or singing songs, practicing for that or doing the game time. I know a lot of people have put a lot of work and labor into this week to make it a success. And I'm so thankful for each one that has done that. And your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We hope that these kids will change and have their lives transformed. But regardless of that, to your account, it's not in vain. And I want to remind you of that. Luke chapter 15, need you stand to your feet for the reading of God's word. We need the Lord's help. We need the Lord's help right now to speak to us once again. I know I'm incapable of it, but God certainly is. It's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. And that's what we need tonight to show up in a mighty way. Luke chapter 15, verse number 11 is where I'm going to begin reading tonight. The Bible says in verse number 11, it says, And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this week, for this youth conference, Lord. Again, it's my privilege, Lord, that you allow me to host this meeting and to have a small part of running things. Lord, I'm so thankful for it. God, I'm thankful for our church, Lord, that has put in so much work and labor over the last few days. Lord, I know that, you know, youth conference doesn't start at 7 o'clock at night. Most of these people are leaving out 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, perhaps even earlier, to go pick up others and bring them here. And God, you know, a lot of them vans, it's hot and it's sweaty and it's difficult, Lord. And, you know, people get irritable and all of that. But God, I'm so thankful for the work that people have put in. And God, it will count for eternity. And Lord God, I thank you for the messages from Brother Tut, Brother Jeff, Brother Kenny, Bubba, Lord, I thank you for each one. I know that they've spoken to my heart. And God, I pray you would help me to live out the things that you've spoken to me about this week. And I pray you would be pleased with my life because of it. I pray that you would help people in this room, Lord, that have been spoken to this week to do something with it, as the prodigal son, to arise and go back where they need to be, Lord. I pray that, God, you would speak through me tonight. I pray that you would give me your help, God. I can't do this myself. You know, I'm tired and got a lot on my mind, but God, I need your help. And I need you to speak, Lord, and I want these people to hear your voice. And God, I pray you would hide me behind the cross. I pray that, God, you would, again, Lord, just speak to hearts in a very evident, strong, unmistakable way tonight. That, Lord, when we walk out of this place, it's not that Tom preached, but God spoke. And Lord, I pray you do that for us. And God, I need your help. I pray you forgive me my sins, fill me your spirit, focus me on the scriptures. God, I need your help. And I pray that, God, you would help each person here tonight. I know they've had a long week and some late services from time to time. But God, I pray that you would help them to listen and give their attention one more time. And Lord, we pray that you would reward that attention that they give with something that they need, Lord. And Lord, help us, help our lives to be different, to be transformed. Help us to shine our light, as Bubba just preached about, Lord, to those around us because of what happened at 2014 Youth Conference. Oh God, we beg you and we ask you, Lord, this could be the defining moments for some kids. Lord, if they don't get right now, they may never get right. If some people in here don't get saved tonight, they may never get saved. And God, I understand the gravity of that and the seriousness of that. And God, I can't do it, but God, we know that you can. And we pray that you would show up in a mighty way. And God, we pray that some kids would come home, that they would come home in the heavenly sense of getting saved, But God, if they're saved and been away from you, oh God, tonight we pray that you would just pound them down, Lord, and convict their hearts and help them to get rid of the things that shouldn't be there. And God, to come home to the Father's house. There's nothing like the Father's house, God. We pray you would bring them back home tonight. We pray you would be glorified and lifted up. Thank you once again for everyone that's come tonight and that's here tonight, Lord. We love you. We pray that you would speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you once again for standing. Luke chapter 15 and this parable, this story, is no doubt one of the most memorable in all of the Bible and a favorite of very many people. This story depicts a young person, a young man, who had it all at the Father's house, but became enamored with the fleeting and passing pleasures of sin that last for a season. Because of that, he rejected everything from the Father, and instead he chose to do his own thing, to go his own way, to follow his own path. And you know what? On that path and on that route that he chose, he had his sin and he had his parties and he had his drinking and he had his wickedness and he had his good time. But after all that stuff came and went, he was alone and he was empty and he was hurting and he was miserable and he was broken. But praise God that at that lowest point of his life, the Bible says in verse number 17, when he came to himself, and after he came to himself, which is basically he realized what was going on, he woke up, he snapped out of it, thank God he came home. We've gathered many young people together in the Father's house this week and have had God bless in incredible services and messages. But the whole reason, folks, listen, the whole reason that we even have a youth conference about come home on that theme and on that emphasis is because many have left home or are considering the appealing pleasures of sin. Listen, folks, as I mentioned a few nights ago, just because you haven't left church doesn't mean you're not thinking about it. Just because you hadn't quit serving God doesn't mean you haven't been tempted in that direction. Amen. And listen, we'd be lying to you if we said that all of us have never been tempted in that area or the devil hasn't whispered in our ear to quit or to give up or to slack up. Listen, it happens to everyone. But I'm saying tonight, you don't need to leave home. Listen, the Father can give you what you need to keep on going. The Father can empower you. The Father can strengthen you. He can help you. And he can take you to even greater heights in serving him. And that's what I want to do in my life. Listen, many tonight, I believe, are on the verge of leaving home and have decided or they've decided to reject the Father for their own way. Listen, you may think it's going good now, but mark my words, the consequences will show up eventually. And when they do, you're not going to be having such a great time anymore. And we're trying to plead with you this week and tonight to come home before it's too late. Listen. You have it all available to you at the Father's house. I think about it that Jeff, there's young people here that if they would get on fire for God, they could do something great for the Lord. They could reach their family. Listen, those of you that come on the bus routes and van routes, you can reach your family. But you know what? You got to step up. And you got to be real about this thing. Listen. If you are one way on Sunday and another way the other 6 days of the week, your family's not going to be reached. I hate to burst your bubble, but that's just how it is. If they see a hypocrite, if they see a contradictory lifestyle, they're not going to come to church. Or if they do, they're not going to take it seriously. Why? Because you don't take it seriously. And kids, we're not trying to beat you over the head. We're just trying to tell you, listen, God has something better for you than what's out there. But you got to test him out. You got to taste and see that the Lord is good for yourself. All we can do is encourage you. All we can do is tell you. All we can do is teach you and train you. But you have to put it into practice for your life. No one else can do that for you. And I think about those kids, and I also think about some of our church kids, and we love you. But I tell you, some of our church kids, they know a lot of stuff, but they're clueless. They don't appreciate what they have. They take it for granted. Listen, not everybody gets to preach word of God to them Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Not everybody gets to go to a Christian school where they don't hear about evolution and they don't hear about sex education. They don't hear about all the nasty stuff that they get forced down their throat in a public school. Listen, you take that for granted. Listen, I want some kids to appreciate that, to be grateful for that, to be glad that you are sheltered from those wicked influences that could come in your mind and in your life. You ought to appreciate that. Young people, you ought to appreciate that. Listen, and you can never give to someone else what you don't have yourself. You got to grab a hold of this thing. And some of you, well, they're just trying to force it down my throat. Well, if you taste and see for yourself, we wouldn't have to.
Amen. Absolutely. Brother Tut, we get up sometimes and we're giving it our best. We're preaching our lungs out, giving our heart and soul and mind, and we study and we pray. Some kids, it's just like the light bulb doesn't come on. Listen, we need you to care. As Jeff talked about a couple nights ago, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Let me tell you something. If you seek the Lord long enough, you'll find him. You'll find him. But you know the problem? Nobody's seeking for him. You're seeking a girl. You're seeking friends. You're seeking acceptance. You're seeking having more followers or having more friends on Facebook. I'm saying, you know what? Above all those other things, exceeding all those other things, you need to seek the Lord in your life. Get him where he needs to be. Say, Lord, I need your will. God, I don't want to live this life on my own. God, I don't want to do my own thing, go my own way. God, I want you to be where you belong, number one. We're saying, come home, come home. But you know what? Before you ever come home, you got to come to yourself. Because you know what? Before the prodigal son came home, he had to come to himself. And I'm saying tonight, we want you to come to yourself. My message tonight is this. It's time to come to yourself. I said it's time to come to yourself. Listen, you've had enough time playing the prodigal part. You've had enough time sowing your wild oats. You've had enough time wasting your life with riotous living. It's time you come home. But before you ever come home, it's time to come to yourself. You know what that means? It means to wake up. It means to get serious. Listen, listen, church kids, we want you to get serious. We want you to wake up. Hey, bus band kid, listen, if you don't get right pretty soon, you may never get right. It's time to get serious. It's time that you admit that your own way is not working. And to get serious with the Lord. I want to show you some things out of this text tonight. Number one, I want you to consider with me this message. It's time to come to yourself. I want you to see, first of all, the brash request of this person. The brash request of this person. Check out verse number 12, if you would. The Bible says in verse number 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. I want you to see the brash request of this person. Listen, I want you to see in this text here, these couple of verses, you know what? This didn't just happen overnight. This was a process that went on, I believe. See, I don't think the prodigal son just woke up one day and said, you know what? I think I'm going to leave home. I think I'm going to go do my own thing. I think I'm going to go have my parties. I think I'm going to go drink that stuff. I think I'm going to go date those people. You know, I don't think he just woke up one day and out of the blue he decided to do it. You know what I believe? I believe it was a process. I believe it built up over time. I believe that he began to let it invade his mind, Brother Jeff, and he began to entertain some of those thoughts and Bobby to wonder and to wish that he was out there in the world and to do his own thing. Maybe he got tired of some of the rules in the father's house. Maybe he got tired of the father telling him what to do. Maybe he got tired of some of the leadership that the father was trying to give him, some of the guidance that he was trying to show him. And he said, you know what? It's built up over time, and this is a process. And he began little by little by little by little to let that invade his mind and to take over his mind and to take over his heart. And before long, Brother Tut, he couldn't help but want to get out of the father's house. It had built up over time. This was a process. He had been pondering it. He had been planning it. He had been plotting it out. And you know what, church kids? I see some of the same things in you. What, Tom? Yeah, I said I see some of the same things in you. That's why we worry about you. That's why we try to warn you. Listen, we see some of the signs when you're liking some pictures on social media that you shouldn't like. Amen. By the way, girls, I wouldn't be clicking and saying I like a picture when a guy's not wearing a shirt. Hello. Yeah, that's fine. Don't say amen. That's all good. Hello. Amen. Listen, if it's wrong for a guy to be lusting after a girl, I'm pretty sure it's wrong for a girl to be lusting after a guy. Yes, sir. Listen, this had built up over time. We see some signs. Listen, when you start listening to that music that you know is not right, we're starting to see some signs. When your dress starts to get on the edge, Brother Kiever, we know that we're starting to see some signs that you want to leave the Father's house. Hello? When it's getting tighter and it's getting shorter and it's getting lower, we got some problems. When you start to rebel against authority, by the way, the Bible says obey them. Hello? Obey them. Let me say it again. Obey them that have the rule and authority over you. They watch for your souls. Listen, God didn't just randomly pick somebody to be in charge of you so they could make your life miserable and boss you around and kick you around if they wanted to. God specifically chose to have teachers, Sunday school teachers, bus captains, van captains, workers over top of you, your pastor, your youth pastor, people that care for you. Listen, leaders in this church, God has selected them and placed them over top of you. And they have to give an account to God for how they teach you and the example they present before you. Listen, and it's real easy for some of the young people, Brother Chad, from time to time. Hey, I want to be on a bus route, and I want to be a teacher, and I want to be a preacher. And Brother Tom, when can I preach at youth conference? Let me tell you something. You're going to have to give an account. Hello? You're going to have to give an account. Listen, it's a serious task. It's a heavy burden that we carry. Listen, because you know what? I don't want to preach anything that God doesn't lay on my heart. I don't want to counsel somebody with something that's outside the Word of God, because you know what? I'm going to have to answer to God for that. And by the way, preachers, when you stand up before people, you're not preaching to impress them. You're preaching to impress Him. Amen. That's what it's all about. So that's why we shouldn't be swayed by the crowd. The Bible says, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. You know what? It's going to be more out of season than it's in season. That's right. Pastor, it's more out of season than it is in season. A lot of times you preach and you wonder if the people are alive out there in the audience. If they're awake. If they've all been shot by tranquilizers before they walked in the auditorium. You know what I'm saying? You know? They get in the pew and they're just dazed. Serious. You preach in my class. You know what I'm talking about. Yes, sir. I'm not downing my guys. I'm telling you straight up, though. I love my guys. I'm telling you that's how it is, though. Listen, we start to see some signs when you start to get an attitude, young person. You know what I'm saying tonight? It didn't all start one day and the prodigal rolled out. It started long before that, where he started to imagine those things, and he started to contemplate them things, and he started to imagine those things going through his mind, and he let that invade his mind and invade his heart, and pretty soon it took over. And I'm saying to a young person in Woodlawn tonight, the same thing can happen and will happen to you if you don't watch it. You know, if you start to make statements like, well, when I'm 18, I'm going to go do what I want to do. You sound a lot like the prodigal to me. Because that's exactly what he was saying. As soon as I get the chance to get out of here, I'm going to do it. As soon as I get the chance to call my own shots, you better watch out, because I'm going to be wild and crazy. I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm going to get my own way. Not only had it built up over time, but I want you to see how blatant it was. Look at verse number 12 again. The younger of them, the younger son, said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. You know, there's one problem with that. He's asking for his inheritance, and his father hadn't died yet. I said he's asking for his inheritance, and his father hasn't died yet. Do you realize what you're asking? You know what he's asking? He wishes the father was dead. He wishes the father was dead. He's saying, I'm getting a little sick of these rules, these laws, these standards we have around here. I'm getting a little sick of how I need to dress a certain way and only listen to a certain type of music and live a certain way and have a high standard in my life. I'm a little tired of these restrictions. I'm a little tired of this leadership that he's trying to give me, these instructions. He wished the father to be dead. But look at him. He's saying, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not only did he want the father dead, but he says, but you know what? I'll use your stuff to get what I want. And look up here. There's some of you, by the way you live, you wish God was dead. But you're going to use his stuff to get what you want. You take his body, the body that he gave to you, the mind that he gave to you, you don't really care about obeying his commands, but you're going to use what he gave you to do your own thing and go get your own way and have your own fun. I don't like the Father's rules. I don't like God's laws. I want my inheritance now, but I'm going to take what I get from him and I'm going to get what I want. I'll take the blessings of God, and I want God to provide me a girlfriend and a wife, but as soon as I get that, you won't see me at church for a while. Oh, God, I need a job. Please give me a job. Then you get the job and we don't see you. You're missing an action. Amen. Oh, God, please, I pray that you would heal my body. And as soon as he does, you quit serving him. Amen. He gives you a church. He gives you a place where the word of God is preached and you're taught what you should do. But some people show up seeing what kind of girl they can find. Listen, you're saying, whoa, Tom, you are going a little far here, man. You're cutting it close. Listen, you put God first. God will give you all the rest. But the problem is we want all the rest and we don't want him. I'm serious. A lot of people show up to church. Give me the blessings, God. She looks pretty nice. Bring her my way. God, I need a job. Yeah, that looks like a great opportunity. Bring that my way. God, give me all the blessings. Give me all the blessings. Give me all the good stuff. But as for following your laws, nah, I'll pass. It doesn't work like that, folks. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. You realize that verse is not inverted there. It didn't say he's going to add all these things unto you, and then at the end of the verse, but seek him first. No, it doesn't work like that. You put him first. And listen, he might not give it right away, but you be faithful. And there's going to be some times when you feel like quitting, and there's going to be some times when you don't feel like it's worth it. And there's going to be some times, Lord, where's this blessing in my life? And Lord, where? I need you to provide for me. And God, I need you to come through for me. And God, I don't really know what to do. And you know what the Lord says? Just keep doing what I told you. Just keep coming to church and just keep reading your Bible and just keep visiting those people that seem like they don't even want to come and they don't want you to knock on their door. You just keep doing it. And you know what? As you do those things, I'll provide all your needs. That's what it's all about, folks. Listen, don't come to church just for the blessings. Come for him and he'll give you the blessings. That's icing on the cake. That is not the cake. He is. I know that sounds weird, but that's how it works, all right? He's all that, all right? Listen, he gives you money, but do you drop it in the offering plate? No. You go do something that keeps you away from God. You go buy things that disgrace him. Listen, folks, I'm trying to say we take what God gives us, but a lot of times we don't want him. God gives you a mind, and you know what? Instead of using that mind that he gave you to delve into his word and to find out what it means and how it can apply to our lives, you know how we use our mind most of the time? To make excuses why we won't show up. Well, you see, what happened was is that, you know, this guy came over my house, and, you know, I had to help him. And I'd never seen this guy. You know, it's all a pack of lies. Why don't you show up to church? Amen. We make excuses with the mind God gave to us. And you know what? The average person out in this world, they take God's air, God's food, God's water, God's son he gives to them, and they curse his name in the process. Because you know what? They'll take his blessings, but they don't want him. And you know the sad thing? In a lesser extent, that's reflected in a lot of Christians. You know what we are? We're users a lot of time. We're moochers. We'll take his blessings, but we don't want the commitment. Listen, folks, be committed to God. And whether the blessings start rolling in immediately or not, you just stay faithful. And listen, he says he'll provide all your needs. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. But you notice, again, it's in his presence. You got to get him where he needs to be initially. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul says to the church there, he says, who makes you to differ from another? And what do you have that you didn't receive? Now, if you did receive it, why do you glory as if you didn't receive it? You know what in essence is saying? Why are you strutting around like you earned it when God gave it to you? Why are you walking down the street like, look what I did? Without him, you would be nothing. And that's how we are many times. Then you get down to verse number 13, and this not only has it built up over time with the prodigal son and this blatant request where he's saying, Father, I wish you were dead, but give me the stuff that I need so I can go have my fun. But in verse number 13, he bolts. He's out, man. Verse number 13, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. He's out. He's out the door. He's gone. And by the way, I believe Jeff or Tut talked about it Sunday night. There's a problem when you run to do evil. Amen. Proverbs 6 talks about that. Your feet are swift and running to evil. You know what that means? You get excited about it. You come in church, and man, we can't keep you awake for 2 seconds. Come on, wake up, sit up, pay attention, listen. Some song comes on, and man, you're all into it. You know why? Because you're excited about it. You come to church, you're not excited about it. The preaching goes on for an hour, and you couldn't tell somebody 2 words of what was said, but some girl texts you, and, oh, you're all into that. You know why? Because you get excited about it. Listen, there's a problem when you're running to evil, and when it's church time or when it's visitation time, oh, again? There's a problem with that. There's a problem with that. Listen, it's an honor to serve the Lord. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. You get to serve him. I get to serve him. And it's not always easy, but it certainly is worth it. Listen, this is the prodigal son. This is his chance. This is his opportunity. This is his dream come true. No more rules. He's out the door. You know what the end of verse number 13 says? He blew it. He wasted his substance with riotous living. He wasted it. Listen, you live your life away from the Lord, you know what you're going to do? Waste your life. That's not me. That's the Bible. You're going to waste your life. Listen, Romans says, what fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Romans 6:21. You know what it's saying? What good came out of it? And by the way, if that's your old life, you shouldn't be talking about it all the time. But yeah, I don't like when people, hey, you remember that song back in the day we used to listen to? What was the lyrics of that? And those are not the good old days, folks. That's the BC days before Christ, and we should be ashamed of those things that we once did. Listen, we can use them as a testimony to reach other people. That's all fine and good, but we shouldn't be laughing it up and yucking it up about what we used to do and the debauchery we used to live in. No, no, no. He says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? You should be ashamed of it. But what good came out of it? Nothing. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. You know what it's saying? You live your whole life for here and it's wiped away. You build your life on the sand, the waves come, and phew, it's gone. There's no good that comes out of it. It's worthless. Number two, not only the brash request of this person, I want you to see the bleak result of his parting. The bleak result of his parting. Verse number 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I want you to see about this bleak result of his parting. Listen, his substance ran out. And listen, you're going to have some fun if you choose to go your own way, and you're going to have your good time. But let me tell you, sooner or later, it's going to run out on you. Your substance will run out. Listen, his finances were gone. His friends were out the door. His fun was over. His fantasy was shot to pieces. It was gone. You know why? Because you can't go against the word of God and expect to succeed. You can't. You can't. You can't. The Bible says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know what it's saying? God is not going to be a debtor to any man. God is not going to be a liar to any man. If he tells you this is what's right and this is what's wrong, you go after what's wrong, you're going down. I don't care who you are. That's the way it works. That's his laws for everyone. His substance ran out. Because the Bible says the pleasures of sin only last for a season. Hebrews 11:25. The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. You know what that's talking about? You transgress. Transgress means you step over the line. God lays a line, a standard down, and you say, no, I don't care. I'll do what I want to do. I'm rebellious. Listen, the way of transgressors, you know what it is? It's hard. It's hard. It's miserable. Listen, it's not easy to live a double life. It's not easy to live a life that's against the will of God. Listen, as Pastor talked about recently, Psalm 32, how David said, man, I was waxing old and it was roaring inside of me. You know what? God's hand was pressing heavy upon me. Because you know what? It's not easy when you're a Christian to run from God when the Holy Spirit's saying, come back, come back, come back home. It's not easy when he's convicting your heart. By the way, that's why you don't want to come back to this church or to a church that preaches the word of God straight up. That's why you want to go to a church where it's easy, nice and nice. You know, they're just going to tell you things you want to hear and tickle your ears. Listen, when you come into Woodlawn, hopefully by the grace of God, we keep preaching it straight down the line. Because you know what? You say, oh, that's rough, that's harsh, that's in our face. You know what? That's exactly what you need, though, and that's what I need. You know why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You have no idea the depths of sin that you can fall into or that I can fall into. That's why we need a preacher up here that'll give it to us straight every Sunday, every Wednesday, and give it to us hard preaching, because that's what we need. Because you know what? The devil comes after you hard. I want the preacher of the word of God to come after me just as hard. His substance ran out. His money was gone. His friends were out. He had spent all. Verse number 14 says, when he had spent all, listen, he was empty. There was an end to it. He was broke. And also, there arose a mighty famine in that land. You know what? As Pastor Kenny talked about last night, listen, God can work some circumstances around your situation. He had no control. Listen, he had control of how much money he spent, but he had no control of a famine happening in the land. You know what? God can bring chastening around you. And listen, you're trying every which way to make things succeed, but as he talked about last night, if you're not in the will of God, you won't succeed. It was scarce. And you know, at the end of verse number 14 is where he really starts to begin to suffer. And it says he began to be in want. What that's talking about is he started to lack. He started to feel that need. You know what? He started to feel hungry. He started to feel lonely. He started to look around and see that really no one cared for him. He started to look around and see that, you know what? He didn't know where his next meal was going to come from. He didn't know where his next paycheck was going to come from. He didn't know how he was going to survive anymore. And he started to feel it. You know what, young people? I hope it doesn't take you to this point. But some of you that are hard-headed, you will have to get hit over the head and start to feel it yourself before you connect with the message you're getting now.
Amen.
And we don't want that to happen. We want you to get convicted by the Holy Spirit tonight. Come down here and get your life in a direction that pleases God. But some of you, it's not going to take effect. And you'll blow it off and say, no, I'll be all right. And you know what? You're going to have to start to feel it. You're going to have to start to begin to be in want before it clicks home what you need to do. He started to feel it, started to be hurt by it. You know, the air was starting to go out of his balloon right now. He was starting to sense that he hadn't made the right choice. But verse number 15, it says he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He's still running. Verse number 15, he's still running. Bobby, he's already started to feel that this thing ain't going to turn out too good, but you know what? He's not going back to the Father's house in verse 15. You know what he does? He goes, joins himself to a citizen of that country. He basically hooks up with some guy that lives there and said, can I work for you? You know what? He's still running. He's still running. And you know what? Some people are going to change jobs because you're not happy. You know what you need to do? Get back in church. Put the Lord back. Listen, I'm not saying a new job won't help you, but you know what? If you're away from the Lord, the job is not your problem. Your problem is with him. And you're still running and you're saying, man, I'm still not happy. And maybe if I get a new girlfriend, or maybe I start cheating on my wife, or maybe I do this, or maybe I do that, or maybe I try some new experiences, then I'll be happy. Listen, you can try all that stuff, but it's going to fritter away just like the other stuff did. You know why? Because you're still running from God. That's why. Don't run from him anymore. And get how detestable and degrading his job is. Think about the audience Jesus is talking to. He's talking to a Jewish audience. This prodigal son had to go and feed swine. If you know anything about the Old Testament, you realize that pigs are not too high on the Jewish thought pattern. They were unclean. In fact, they were one of the worst unclean animals. And this guy, not only does he have to touch them or be around them, it's his job to feed them. It's his job to take care of them. What a wonderful job he had. I'm sure he was loving it at this point. Great smell, you know, it's wonderful. He's enjoying it. No. But you know what? He's still running. He doesn't want to admit. Some people in here, you don't want to admit that you're going down the wrong path. You know what? And I'm talk about this later as well. But you know a lot of people, why they don't come back home? Pride.
Amen.
You don't want to admit that you're wrong. You don't want to admit that you're wrong. Because you know if you come down to this altar and shed some tears and get your life right, that somebody's going to see. Who cares about that? You know what? God sees you when you're still at your pew. God sees you when you're at your home. God sees you when you're hurting and empty on the inside. And he's saying, come home. I'll welcome you back. Listen, don't let your pride hold you back from getting right. Listen, you say, Brother Tom, I've stepped away from the Lord, but I'm not going to admit to pastor, and I'm not going to admit to the leaders in Woodlawn that I was wrong. Why don't you humble yourself and get back where you need to be?
Amen.
He's still running. And he's got such a degrading and detestable job. And think about this. Verse number 16, the slop that he was regarding. Get this. Verse number 16, he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Think about this. This guy is seriously considering eating the slop of the pigs. It says he would have fain. You know what fain means? He would have gladly filled his belly with the husk that the swine did. He's really looking at this slop, this swill, and saying, I'm so hungry, even that looks good. You got some problems if you're looking at a bunch of slop and saying, that looks good. And you know what, some people in here, you're looking at some slop in some other areas and say, oh, that looks good to me. Listen, why don't you get back to the Father's house? He's got the finest stuff. He's got the best stuff. When we get later in the story, he says, bring the best robe. Listen, why don't you come back where you belong, where he wants you to be, because he's got the best stuff. How can you be looking at that job or looking at cheating on your wife or looking at that girlfriend that you know is nowhere close to living for God and saying, you know, that looks pretty good? No, it doesn't. Get your mind right. We're begging with you. We're pleading with you and begging you tonight. Listen, stop considering. Stop thinking about that stuff. Stop thinking about skipping church. Stop thinking about falling away from your ministry. People are counting on you. You're an example. And you think of how desperate that he was, that he would gladly have filled his belly with the husk that the swine ate. I mentioned a couple nights ago, but doing some research, the stuff that the pigs ate, you couldn't even digest it. It's not edible for humans. That's why he said he would have gladly filled his belly. You know why there's still a question there? Because if he could have, Tut, he would have. Wow.
and he's destitute. Check out the end of verse number 16. Some of you kids need to listen and mark this in your Bibles. The end of verse number 16, and no man gave unto him. No man gave unto him. You know, I thank God that I've always been in church and I've tried to do what's right and I've had my slip-ups, but I've heard from some other people that have been out in the world. You know what? You can have your party and you can have your fun and you can be up on the stage and be doing your thing and everybody cheering you and all that. And you know what? But when you go home, you're all by yourself. You're lonely. You're laying on that bed and no one cares for you. And you have no real friends that you can count on. You know why? Because that's not how the world works. It's all selfish. It's all about me. It's all about what can you give me? What can I get from you? By the way, young ladies, some of those young men that are coming to you, they don't really care about you. They just want something from you. Young men, those guys that are trying to pull you out of church, they don't really care about you. They just want something from you. I told my guys last Sunday, and they didn't like it, but I told them anyway. I said, you know what, guys? Some of you pump this music into your minds, and you're being trained. By the way, music trains you on what to believe and how to behave. You know, I heard a statistic that those to listen to rap and hip-hop style music are 2 times more likely to fall into fornication. I wonder why, because that's what it talks about. That's what it pounds into your mind, and it trains you that that's okay and that's normal, and you go ahead and do that. And then you know what? When you fall into it, the rapper's not there to hold your hand. He's not there, young lady, when you get raped and when you're in the hospital or when you're in counseling. He's not going to be there to hold your hand and to help you through that process. You know why? He doesn't care for you. You know, all he cares about is getting his money charged to his account because you downloaded his song or you put his song on iTunes or you bought his CD. That's all he cares about. I was using the illustration in my class, Brother Chad. Why, if I care for Brother Chad, I love Brother Chad, but if I came up to him and I said, Brother Chad, you know, I don't really care about you in any sense, but you know what? I got some advice for you. You would turn him off right like that, wouldn't you? Because you say, hey, if you don't care for me, why should I listen to a word you say? Why would we pump into our ears? And by the way, the average teenager listens to the wrong type of music 2.5 hours per day. Per day. You add that up, that's 17.5 hours per week. And then we wonder why they don't want to live for God. Because we get them for 2 hours on Sunday, and that music gets them for 17.5 per week. And we wonder why the spirit is so small and so weak and the flesh is so large and monstrous. You wonder why, because that's what you're feeding. Why would you listen to somebody? Why would you let someone instruct you and teach you if they obviously don't care for you? Number three, as we round the corner of this message, number three, the broken realization of his predicament. The broken realization of his predicament. Listen, he had hit rock bottom. As he's looking at that swill and saying, man, that doesn't look half bad. He's hit rock bottom. And thank God that he realized that. He was broken. He realized that he was in a bad state and that he needed to get fixed. Listen, some of you tonight, you need to realize you're in a bad way. You need to get fixed. You know what? There's only one person that can fix you, and that's the great physician. Listen, he can take your broken pieces and put them back together again and use you for his honor and glory to reach out to others and do things you could never imagine that you could never do on your own. But you know what? You got to admit it. You got to admit it. You got to admit that you have some problems. You got to admit, Lord, I'm lusting, and that's not pleasing to you. God, I'm clicking on junk, and that's not pleasing to you. And as I said, the key to it all is you got to admit it. You got to drop your pride and say, you know what, Lord, if that's me, I'm going to come and get it right. I don't care who sees. I don't care what they say. I don't care if they laugh at me. I don't care if they mock me. You know what? If I got some problems, I'm going to him. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You know what? Every day you get up, say, Lord, I'm messed up. I'm needy. I need your help. You know, one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, Isaiah, when he saw the vision of the Lord, you know what he said? Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm unclean. I'm unworthy, God. I'm so messed up. You know why he said that? Because he was in the presence of Almighty God. And I don't care how high you up on the church status pole and how important you think you are walking around here compared to him, all our flaws look terrible and all our blemishes are shown. You know why? Because he's ultimately holy and ultimately righteous and ultimately good. And as Bubba was talking about, he is the light and there is no darkness in him at all. The broken realization of his predicament. Verse number 17, and when he came to himself, listen, you got to realize what's going on. He came to himself. As I've already mentioned, you know what his thought process is right here? What am I doing? He woke up. He snapped out of it. He came to his senses. He got his mind right. Listen, folks, listen. If you're going down the wrong path, young lady, if you're dressing in a way that's attracting guys in the wrong way,
Not like Bubba was talking about with being modest and all that, but in the total opposite sense, you know what you need to do? Get your mind right. Listen, because if you draw that man with the lust that you with his lust now, you know what? When he finds somebody a little better built than you, he's going to lust after them too. And that's the straight up truth. And if you caught him with that, he's going to run after someone else that's better endued than you. He realized, he came to himself. He said, what am I doing here? I'm a child of my father, and here I am looking at this slop saying, man, I might try some of that later. Whew. You know what, folks? If you're in here tonight and you're miserable and you're broken on the inside and you're empty spiritually, you know what you need to realize if you're saved? I'm a child of the King. I shouldn't be feeling like this. I shouldn't be going through this. My Father loves me. He cares for me. That's what you should realize tonight. Not only did he realize, but you know what? Something else he remembered. I like this verse number 17, and I'll move quickly. He says, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. You know, he remembered back at the father's house, the father takes care of his servants. He said they had enough and to spare. You know what that's saying? It was sufficient. They had sufficient, enough for themselves, and a little extra, and to spare. You know what I've realized being around Woodlawn for so many years? God takes care of his servants. I watched a dad that for 33 years pastored this church, and I believe for 37 years, Mom, 37 years, he went out every single day, and he was soul winning, but he was trying to find someone that had never heard the gospel. That's hard to find on some days. And there were days that dad would be out 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 hours. And there'd be times where he'd show up to church and he had been visiting all Sunday afternoon and he had a message thrown together and God blessed and God used him. But you know what? For 37 years, God provided one person every single day for 37 years straight. Listen, dad didn't take off holidays. Dad didn't take off when he was sick. Dad didn't take off when it's Christmas or Thanksgiving or Easter. Listen, every single day he was out there. And you know what God did? He provided somebody that had never heard the gospel so my dad could go through a clear presentation of the gospel for 37 years straight. You know what I find out? God takes care of his servants. I look at Brother Bob, and I love Brother Bob, and I know sometimes we laugh at Brother Bob, but Brother Bob is one of my heroes, and I mean that. I mean that. It's not easy for him to be happy and joyous and rejoicing all the time. Because if you live in a world like I do, there's a lot of depressing and discouraging and things that pull you down every single day. I appreciate Brother Bob comes in here with a smile and he's working hard and trying to teach those Spanish folks about the Word of God. Listen, you know what I found out? God takes care of his servants. I'm so glad about that. I look around as I'm growing up at others, Brother Chuck and Brother Tripp, how God provided full buses as they labored and as they worked hard on those bus routes. And every week on all these campaigns, I'd be sitting down there as a little kid and they say, Brother Tripp had 100 or Brother Chuck had 85. And you're just saying, wow, they had all these people saved. You know what I found out? God takes care of his servants. Amen. I look at others like Miss Christina and how she labored for years and years in the junior girls class and how she had a heart and her heart would break over those junior girls. And then you see people like Andrea and Emily and others that turn out by the grace of God and you say, you know what, God takes care of his servants. Amen. You look at the life of a man, Brother Jim, that gave his life to those junior boys and that worked hard and that labored and that spent his own money and that got up there and taught us the best he could, the Word of God. And I see all that and then, I'm nothing special, but I look at my life and I say, I'm thankful for the investment of Brother Jim. I'm thankful for that junior boys class. That Brother Bill, when I went to college, there were some things that I knew that my classmates didn't know. And you know where I got that from? Not from the pastor, not from some conference. You know, I didn't get that from Kenny Baldwin. You know where I got it from? I got it from the junior boys class. You know what I found out? God takes care of his servants. And even though Brother Jim has been taken home to heaven, you know what? God's still blessing and God's still working and God's still... Listen, why don't you get in on that? Yeah. You know why those people had the blessings of God? Because they were committed to it, because they cared about it. Because, listen, and some of those people had their rough spots in their life and they were off track for a while, but you know what? They came to themselves and they remembered that God takes care of his servants. Listen, God, listen. I look at those people and I see a love and a joy and a peace just exuding out of them. And it's not fake. It's not a put on. It's not a show. You see God doing that and it's real, Pastor. It's real. And you see it and you think, wow. You know what that is? God takes care of his servants. They have enough and to spare. Jesus said he came to give us life and life more abundantly. I'm almost done, but David said, listen, I've been young, now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know what he's saying? God always takes care of his children. God always provides for them. Not only did he realize and he came to himself, he remembered that his father's servants were taken care of. But in verse number 18 and 19, check this out. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You know what the prodigal son's doing here? He's rehearsing. He's rehearsing. You know, a lot of times in our lives, this is just human nature. A lot of times in our lives, if we have a big moment or a big opportunity that we have, you know what we do? We rehearse. You got a job interview or there's some girl you're trying to date and you're in the mirror. Hey, no. Hi, no, too excited. You know, and you're practicing and you're rehearsing. I like that the prodigal son is doing this because you know what? He's saying, this is a big moment in my life. This could be a make or break experience for me. And he's saying, I got to practice this out. I got to plan out exactly what I'm going to say. I need to prepare this. And listen, you know what he was doing? He was planning out. Listen, I told you last night, young people, you need to plan out some things that God has spoken to you, that you need to get a plan of action so you can start doing something. That's what he was doing. He's saying, you know what? I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to tell him this, that I've sinned against him. I'm going to tell him that I'm not worthy to be his son. I'm going to tell him that I'll be one of his servants. You know what? He was planning it all out. And you know what? Next couple of verses, that's exactly what he did. Hey, if you wrote some things down last night that God spoke to your heart about them. Get doing them. He's rehearsing it. And then the great part, he repents.
Amen.
He repents. Verse number 18 again. He said, I will arise and go to my father. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. You know what he's doing? He's admitting he's wrong.
Yes.
And get this, the end of verse number 18. I have sinned against heaven, so that's against God. Check out the next part. And before thee, his father. You know, if you're really serious about your repentance, not only will you go to God and say, God, please, I repent of my sin and I'm sorry for such and such what I did. But you know, this is a hard part. I'll be honest with you. This is hard. I've had to do this a couple times in my life. It's hard. But you're going to make it right with those that you've offended and that you've hurt.
Amen.
Listen. If you've affected and hurt some people in the past, young people, not only do you need to say, God, forgive me, you need to go to those people and make it right. Maybe some of you after the service tonight need to go to your mom or dad and say, Dad, I'm sorry how I talked to you. And mom, I'm sorry how I talked back to you. That's not easy. But that really is a good determiner whether your repentance is real or not. Because that's not easy for anyone. Not only did he say, I have sinned, and he admitted that. But you know what? He also said in verse number 19, the beginning of it, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know what he's saying? I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. I wished that you were dead back in the past. And you know what? I forfeited that right. I'm no more worthy to be your son. You know what this is? Humility.
Amen.
And you know the next part of it? He says, make me as one of your hired servants.
Amen.
I like that. Here's another good determiner whether your repentance is real. When you get right with the Lord, listen, you're not saying, now, Pastor, I'm right with the Lord. What Sunday school class do you want me to teach? What part of the church do you want me to direct or administer?
Amen.
You know what you say? What's the lowest job you got?
Amen.
You need trash picked up? I'm there. Hey, you need some kids picked up in that hot van, them church vans that I think the devil is in control of, you know? You get in there, you turn the AC on, and the heat starts blowing out. You're like, what is this about? My goodness, not only is it 95 outside, it's about 125 in this van. Willie, you know what I'm talking about. Whew. Some of them VBS, Emily, oh my goodness. Some of the most extreme conditions that I've ever been through. You say, did you go to deepest, darkest Africa? No. Did you go to the Himalayas? You know, did you go to Siberia? No, I was in a church van. I'm telling you, some of these VBS in August, great time of the year, Pastor. No, I'm just kidding. But in August, it's like 99.8 degrees outside, and then I'm in a church van, and you can't turn the heat off. It's like 135, and you're like, I lose like 20 pounds every day. I'm like, I hope VBS ends early this year because I'm not going to make it, you know? Yeah, no. Kick him out. Did I say he was my hero? Forget that. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say I agree with everything he said, okay? But you know what he said? He said, give me the lowest spot. Hey, Lord, do you have a need? I remember Brother Chad telling us many times, you know, a lot of us, we're looking around for the big job. You know, if you want to find out the will of God, find a need and go after it.
Amen.
Listen,
if some kids need to be picked up, why don't you do it? Amen. If some trash needs to be picked up, why don't you do it? Amen. Listen, if somebody needs to be prayed for, why don't you do it? Amen. If some missionaries need to be supported, why don't you do it? Amen. Listen, if the big opportunities and the showy jobs don't show up, Tut, why don't we find some of the low jobs and say, hey, can I pick up somebody for junior church? Can I visit someone? Can I pray for somebody? Can I knock on some doors? Can I go soul winning with you? Hey, what can I do? Is there a low job on the team that I can get involved in? That's how God works. Listen, people that just get their life back, they shouldn't become the pastor all of a sudden. Or they shouldn't become a Sunday school teacher all of a sudden. You know what? You have to work your way up. And by the way, once you get up, you ain't no big thing. It's just because God has been good to you and merciful to you. Because none of us deserve it. Number four and lastly, the blessed restoration of his position. After he realizes what he's done is wrong, and after he remembers about the Father's servants, and he rehearses what he's going to do, and he repents, and he humbles himself. Number four, the blessed restoration of his position. Verse number 20, and he arose. First thing you got to do, you got to be compelled to fix it. Listen, not only should you write out what God has spoke to your heart about, get moving on it. Get moving on it. Listen, just because you say you need to pray more doesn't mean it's going to happen. Just because you admitted that you need to go soul winning more doesn't mean it's going to happen. You know what you need to do? Start making it happen. Start calling up your friends like I did as a 17-year-old and say, hey, Kenny, hey, Josh, you want to go soul winning today? After you get off work, hey, let's meet up. Let's go do something. Let's pray for our youth group. Let's pray for our church, our pastor. Hey, let's go do something about it. Because unless you do something about it, nothing will change. I know I sound like a broken record, but it's the truth. Get moving on your plan. Get moving with your plan. Not only was he compelled to fix it. Listen, he didn't just practice and say, okay, I got my speech down to the Father. He got up and he went to the Father's house to go put it in action. And then the next part, what a great, great portion of this verse, the compassion of the Father. But when he was yet a great way off, his Father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Wow. You talk about undeserving. You want to talk about mercy and grace and forgiveness and compassion and love. It's all right there in that verse right there. It says he was a great way off. The Father had the binoculars out, amen. He was looking way down that road, and he saw his son coming, and he had a long way still to come. But you know, the Father said, I'm not going to wait for him to come all this way. I got to run to him. And that's the Heavenly Father we get to serve. And you're wondering if I get right, if I admit what I've done wrong, will God really accept me? Check out verse number 20. He'll run to you and embrace you and welcome you back. What a great God we get to serve. You know what the compassion of the Father tells us? He had been waiting for him. He had been watching for him. He had been wanting him to come back the whole time. And when he did, he welcomed him back. You know what I say to that? Wow. You know why? You know why? Because of verse number 21. And the son starts his speech here. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know why the compassion of the Father is so astounding and amazing and incredible? Think of the child that had forfeited all his rights. You remember he had already rehearsed it, and then he's going to tell the Father in just a moment, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. You know why? He wished he was dead. You remember back in the story? Give me your goods. Give me your inheritance. Give me my inheritance. Let me go do what I want to do. But as for you, I wish you were dead. I wish you were out of my life. This child had forfeited every right that he had. He'd given up all his rights, all his privileges, all his status. He remembered that he had wished the father was dead. In the prodigal's mind, listen, folks. In the prodigal's mind, that relationship had been severed, broken, never to be repaired. That's why when he came back, he said, just make me a servant. I know we're not on that level anymore. I know it's not father, son anymore because I forfeited everything. That's what makes the compassion of the Father so amazing, so incredible, because even though this child had wished that he was dead and even though that relationship in his mind was broken, and he said, please just make me a servant. When the Father saw him, he ran to him and embraced him back and said, you're my son and I'll love you forever. You want to talk about amazing. And I like this part as well. The son starts his speech, verse number 21. Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know what? He couldn't even finish. Check this out. You remember he was rehearsing back in 18 and 19? Check out verse number 18. Father, I have sinned against heaven. So first thing he says is, I've sinned. Secondly, verse number 19, I am no more worthy to be called your son. That's the second idea. Third one, make me as one of your hired servants. So those are three ideas. I've sinned. I'm not your son anymore. Just make me a servant. He gets to verse 21 when he's actually saying it to the father. He only gets two of them out, and the father cuts him off. I like that. I like that. You know, the father says, that's all right. I know you're real. Hey, I know you're sincere in your repentance. Forget all the rest of that speech that you had. I love you. I'm welcoming you back. You may want to be a servant, but you're coming back as my son. He starts off his speech, verse 21. Father, I have sinned against heaven. He has that element there. And in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Chop. Right there, the father says, that's enough, son. You don't have to say another word, because you know what? You're welcome back as my child. He couldn't even finish. The father cut him off mid-sentence and said, no, you're still my son. You know what the father realized? He was so broken and so ashamed and so embarrassed, and he's undeserving. But you know what? This father still heaped his blessings on him. Amen. You know what, folks? When we come back to God, we're broken, we're ashamed, we're embarrassed. We know that we don't deserve anything from God. We'll take the lowest position that he has. But you know, God, out of his mercy and grace, Jeff, will throw blessing after blessing after blessing on our life. And we look at our lives sometimes and say, how did I get here? How did God make me the youth pastor? Look at all these issues that I got. How did God call him to the Dominican Republic? Oh my goodness, how could God do this? Listen, if you were to rewind our lives, there's plenty of times where we've been very ashamed of what we've done. I love Jeff like a brother. Amen. But we've messed up and we've had our slip-ups. But you know what? God can take people that are broken and embarrassed, and we come back and say, oh God, I messed up. And God cuts us right there and says, you know what? I can use you. And I can put you in a position that you could never gotten to yourself. What a wonderful God. Last thing, the celebration with the finest. Verse number 22. After he cuts him off mid-sentence, verse number 22, the father, he's not talking to the son, but he's talking to the servant, saying, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And you know why? The reason for it all, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost. Now he's found, and they began to be merry. You know what the cool thing about this? When the son came back, the father said, get out the finest stuff. Get out the best robe. Get out the biggest ring you can find. Get some nice shoes, some Jordans. Let's throw them on his feet. Listen, get that fat cow, and let's bring him over here and take him down, Bobby. Let's go cook him up. The one from Australia, that's what I'm talking about. Bring him over here, because we got a party about to happen. You know why? Because the son had come home. Amen. And you know what? All throughout this chapter, it talks about people coming to the Lord. And every time they come, you know what happens? There's joy in heaven.
Amen.
The angels are rejoicing.
Amen.
You know who else is rejoicing? Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
As another child's coming home.
Amen.
Listen, folks. Before you ever come home, you got to come to yourself. And I'm saying tonight, it's time for some young people and some older people. It's time to come to yourself. We don't know how much time we have. And God has given you a chance, and he's given you a conference that's pounded the thought of come home, come home, come home. Listen, this is not just for people that fell out of church. This is for people that are in church, but they're leaning. They're wandering in their mind. They have that heart and mind that's left a long time ago, but their body's still here. I'm saying before it's too late, before God may take you home, which he has every right to, why don't you come back to him? Why don't you come home? But before you ever do that, it's time to come to yourself. Let's bow for prayer.